I want you to do something for me right now. Like wherever you are, whatever you are doing, while you listen to this, I just want you to freeze.
That is always a slightly intimidating way to start things off.
I know, right? But seriously, just do not move a single muscle. Now, without changing anything about your position, like don't fix it, I want you to notice exactly how you are sitting or standing right in this very second.
Just observe it as it is.
Exactly. Just observe it. Are your shoulders kind of creeping up by your ears? Is your spine slumped forward? Maybe you're holding a bunch of tension in your jaw or leaning all your weight onto one leg.
Most people probably are, honestly.
Right. And today's deep dive is entirely about that exact moment of noticing. We are on a mission today to explore how simply becoming aware of our physical posture can, you know, profoundly impact our emotional state.
Which is huge.
It really is. And crucially, we're going to look at how that awareness can help us manage the really powerful pull of compulsive and reactive behaviors.
And I have to say, it is surprisingly difficult to just notice how you are holding yourself without immediately, almost reflexively, trying to fix it.
Oh, totally.
We have this instant urge to straighten up the second someone even mentions the word posture.
I actually caught myself doing exactly that. I mean, I started sitting up straighter before I even finished the opening sentence.
Right. It's just this instinct.
But the material we are drawing from today provides a completely different way to approach this. We are pulling our insights from a really fascinating framework, which we'll refer to as the RAFT program. Okay, let's unpack this. The program is built around a specific path where RAFT is an acronym.
Yes.
And it stands for Recognize, Abandon, Feel, and Train.
Right. And just to establish some boundaries for everyone listening, we are not going to dive into that entire comprehensive framework today.
It's going to be a lot.
Trying to tackle all four stages at once would be completely overwhelming. So instead, our focus on physical posture today fits squarely into that very first step, which is recognize.
Okay, so just the recognize part.
Exactly. We are specifically looking at how our physical posture is an incredibly powerful, yet often completely ignored, diagnostic tool. And it helps us recognize our current state of being.
Which perfectly explains the setting you have chosen for your backdrop today, by the way.
I thought it might.
Yeah, for those who are just listening to the audio, you look like you're broadcasting from a space that is like halfway between a Zen monastery and a medical library.
That is the vibe I was going for.
It's this incredibly serene, minimalist room, but you have these beautifully detailed anatomical sketches of the human nervous system on the walls.
Right, the hardware.
Exactly. And they are right next to stacks of very dense, heavy philosophical texts. It perfectly captures this mind-body connection we are about to tear into.
Well, I thought it was appropriate for the subject matter, because to truly understand our minds and to understand the roots of our sudden emotions and our reactive behaviors, we first have to, you know, thoroughly understand the physical vessel that houses all of it.
The vessel itself.
Right. In modern society, we have a really strong tendency to think of the mind as this floating computer in the clouds, completely detached from the biological hardware.
Well, like we're just brains in jars.
Exactly. But the RAFT program draws heavily on an ancient, remarkably grounded perspective. There is a specific quote from Gautama, the Buddha, that really sets the foundational stage for everything we're going to talk about today.
Oh, I want to hear that quote, because I think a lot of people assume ancient texts are mostly abstract philosophy, you know, rather than practical physical instructions.
Right, but they are often very practical. So Gautama, the Buddha, declared that the entire world, its arising, its cessation, and the path of practice all happen within this, quote, fathom-long body.
A fathom-long body. Wow, that is such a striking, specific image. A fathom is an old maritime measurement, right? Like roughly 6 feet?
Precisely. It is roughly the span of a person's outstretched arms or their total height.
Okay.
And what he was pointing to is the absolute reality that we do not experience the world out there in some, you know, conceptual abstract.
Right. It's not just ideas floating around.
Exactly. We experience absolutely everything. All of our physical pain, all of our emotional difficulties, our deepest disappointments, and even the path to psychological healing, exclusively through our physical body-mind process.
So it's all filtered through the physical form.
Yes. Paying attention to the body isn't some secondary distraction from doing the real mental work. It is engaging directly with the actual immediate terrain that we inhabit.
So if we want to understand that terrain, we need a map, basically, or at least a reliable method to survey what is happening.
Right.
And the RAFT program talks about a specific tool to do this, drawing on mindfulness-based approaches from leading voices in the field, like Dr. Mark Williams at Oxford and Professor Willem Kuyken. It is called the body scan.
A very foundational practice.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people have probably heard of this concept, but it basically involves systematically moving your awareness through your physical form, usually starting from the top of the head and inching all the way down to the toes.
Right. Just slowly standing down.
And you are simply noticing sensations, warmth, a tingling feeling, tight tension, or even a complete lack of sensation. And you do it with total curiosity and zero judgment.
That zero judgment part is often the hardest, honestly.
Oh, for sure.
But it's the most vital element. You are not scanning your body to find out what is wrong with it so you can fix it. You are just taking attendance. You are mapping the current reality.
So is the body scan essentially like running a diagnostic test on a computer before you try to patch a software bug?
That's a great way to think about it.
Because you wouldn't just start writing new code if you didn't know the hardware was overheating or the fan was broken. Is this practice basically putting ourselves in safe mode and reading the system logs?
What's fascinating here is how accurate that analogy is, especially for people who regularly struggle with the overwhelming pull of compulsive and reactive behaviors.
Right, because those pulls can be so strong.
Yes, and those intense patterns are so frequently driven by a desperate, often subconscious desire to escape physical or emotional discomfort.
So we just want to run away from it.
The urge is to essentially unplug the overheating computer or just numb the system out entirely. So the body scan actually rebuilds a safe, regulated connection to the physical self.
Because when things get too hard to process, we instinctively eject from the physical experience. We retreat into our heads.
Precisely. We flee into rumination, or we try to shut the entire sensory system down through various escape mechanisms.
Just totally check out.
Right. But what the body scan does, when practiced over time, is slowly build our tolerance for existing within our own skin.
Even when it's uncomfortable.
Exactly. Instead of immediately avoiding a difficult sensation, it allows us to feel safely present with whatever is happening in the hardware.
Wow. Okay, so how does that change things in the moment?
Well, if a sudden urge or an intense wave of emotion arises, we start to experience it as a temporary physical sensation, like a sudden spike in temperature or a tightening of the chest muscles.
Instead of a crisis.
Right. Rather than an absolute terrifying command that we must act upon immediately, we learn to sit with the diagnostic readout without instantly panicking.
That reframing changes the entire dynamic of an urge. But here is the tricky part about the body scan, at least for me. It is usually something you do lying flat on your back in a quiet room, maybe with a soothing audio guide playing in the background.
Very controlled conditions.
Yeah, it is a highly controlled environment. So how do we maintain this specific kind of awareness when we are off the mat?
That is the real challenge.
Right. When we are upright, walking through a chaotic supermarket, dealing with a frustrating email from a coworker, or just trying to navigate the messy, unpredictable reality of everyday life.
And that is exactly where mindfulness of posture comes in. It takes that same quality of gentle diagnostic attention and applies it continuously as we move through the day.
Ah, okay.
Gotama returns to this idea with characteristically direct instruction. He says, when walking, a practitioner knows I am walking. When standing, they know I am standing. When sitting, they know I am sitting.
It sounds so incredibly simple on the surface that it almost feels too obvious. Like, of course I know I am standing.
Yeah, do it.
Right. If I am being honest, do I really? Most of the time, I am standing in line at the coffee shop, but my mind is 3 hours in the future having a completely imaginary argument with someone who isn't even there.
Exactly.
I am not standing. I am time traveling.
Right. Your physical body is located in the coffee shop, but your conscious awareness is completely divorced from it.
Totally severed.
And mindfulness of posture pulls you out of that time traveling loop and brings you back to the physical reality of the present moment. It is the act of actively noticing the weight distributed on the soles of your feet or the curve of your spine.
Just tuning back into the hardware.
Yes. And our posture acts as this incredible real-time mirror for our internal state. We all instinctively know that we tend to slump physically when we are exhausted or feeling emotionally low.
Oh, absolutely.
We physically contract and make ourselves smaller when we feel anxious, defensive, or threatened.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, because the RAF program highlights that this isn't just a one-way street where your internal mood dictates your external posture.
Not at all.
It is bidirectional. Gently adopting a more upright posture can actually feed back into your nervous system and support greater alertness or create a subtle positive shift in your mood.
Yes, this taps into the scientific concept of embodied cognition.
Embodied cognition.
Okay. Basically, the brain is not just sending orders down to the body, it is constantly taking sensory cues from the body to figure out how it should be feeling and reacting to the environment.
I do have to push back on this for a second, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Because it can easily sound like something else. Is this just telling people they need to constantly maintain perfect posture? Because we have all seen those power posing fads from a few years ago that claimed if you just stand like a superhero with your hands on your hips for 2 minutes, your entire life will change, your confidence will skyrocket, and you'll conquer the world. Is that what this framework is suggesting?
I am so glad you brought that up, because it is vital to distinguish between the two. No, it is absolutely not that.
Okay, good.
The RAFT program specifically notes that the effects of posture on our mood are modest and highly context dependent. This is explicitly not about forcing yourself into some rigid, correct stance.
So no military posture required.
No. And it is definitely not about judging your natural, relaxed posture as somehow bad or deficient.
Which means no mandatory superhero poses are required to get the benefits.
None whatsoever. The core practice is the noticing, not the fixing.
Not the fixing. I love that.
Right. If you pause and notice that you are hunched over and holding tension in your neck, the goal is not to immediately whip your spine straight and mentally berate yourself for slouching.
Which is usually my first instinct.
Right. But the goal is simply the awareness itself. Now, you might choose to make a gentle, small adjustment, maybe softening your shoulders or finding a tiny bit more length in your spine. But you do it purely as an experiment.
Just to see what happens.
Exactly. You adjust, and then you just notice what, if anything, shifts in your physical or emotional energy. The transformative power lies entirely in the curiosity of the experiment, not in forcing a correction.
The practice is the noticing, not the fixing. That takes an enormous amount of pressure off the listener. But if the goal isn't to walk around with perfect red carpet posture all day, what is a practical purpose of all this noticing? Especially when we're talking about people trying to navigate really difficult emotional waters or dealing with deeply ingrained patterns of self-sabotage.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it helps to use the central metaphor that gives the RAFT program its name. Imagine you are building an actual physical raft to navigate a turbulent river.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
The program describes the foundational planks of this raft as the five gifts. These are core principles like mindfulness and ethical living. And the ropes that bind these planks together securely are the four appropriate responses qualities like kindness and equanimity.
So we have foundational principles as planks and binding qualities as ropes. Where exactly does physical posture fit into this boat building metaphor?
Posture is how we understand and monitor the trim of our vessel.
The trim, like how the boat is physically sitting and balancing in the water.
Exactly that. Is the weight distributed evenly?
Yeah.
Are you balanced, upright, and ready to navigate the approaching rapids? Or is the raft severely listing to one side, slumped over, and actively taking on water without you realizing it?
Oh, I see.
By paying consistent attention to your physical posture, you are constantly checking the trim of your vessel before a crisis hits.
Which means if you are not routinely checking the trim, you won't realize you are taking on water until you are already sinking.
Precisely.
And the RAFT program points out that this constant, gentle awareness counteracts the mind's powerful tendency to drift. When we get caught up in those heavy patterns of escape and self-sabotage, it is almost always triggered by the mind getting lost in past regret or spinning out into future worry. But noticing your posture forces you strictly into the present tense. Like, you literally cannot feel the posture you had yesterday.
No, you can't.
And you cannot feel the posture you will have tomorrow. You can only feel the physical posture you have right this very second. It forces you to observe impermanence because your posture is constantly, inevitably shifting.
It grounds you firmly in the absolute reality of the now. And just as importantly, it brings those unconscious, hidden physical habits out into the light.
Like what?
Well, you might start to realize, oh, every single time I have to open an email from my boss, my shoulders creep all the way up to my ears and my breathing gets shallow.
I definitely do that.
Right. And recognizing that unconscious physical habit is the first crucial step to dismantling the emotional reaction that sits behind it.
Speaking of hidden physical habits, there was a specific, highly relatable example in the self-reflections section of the RAFT program that really caught my attention.
Oh, the 3 a.m. wake up.
Yes. It talked about waking up in the middle of the night, say, 3 a.m., and your brain suddenly serves up a deeply uncomfortable thought. It could be a sudden panic about a financial bill or just a random memory of something embarrassing you did a decade ago.
I think everyone listening knows that exact agonizing moment.
Oh, without a doubt. And what do we instinctively do? The program points out that we almost always physically roll over in bed.
Immediately.
We thrash around. We flip the pillow to the cool side. We turn our bodies in this futile, entirely subconscious attempt to physically get away from an internal thought.
It is the ultimate primal manifestation of trying to escape discomfort.
Yeah.
The mind registers a sudden spike of anxiety, and the nervous system translates that into physical motion.
Yeah.
The body literally tries to run away while lying completely horizontal in bed.
That is so wild to think about. And you mentioned earlier that staying physically still sends a safe signal to the brain. I want to look under the hood of that for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
The program asks us to imagine meeting that midnight thought with physical stillness. Like, don't roll over. Don't adjust the blanket. Just lie there, hold your posture, and let the thought happen. So what does this all mean? When I stop thrashing in bed and force myself to just lie flat, what is physically happening in my nervous system?
To understand the hardware level, we have to look at two major sensory systems. Most people are well aware of their five basic senses, but we also have proprioception and interoception.
Okay, big words. Break those down for me.
Proprioception is your brain's ability to sense the exact position of your body in three-dimensional space using constant signals from your muscles and joints. Interoception, on the other hand, is your conscious awareness of your body's internal physiological state. Your heartbeat, the rhythm of your digestion, the depth of your breathing.
So proprioception is how I know where my hand is without looking at it, and interoception is feeling the sudden drop in my stomach when I get bad news.
Exactly. When you are lying in bed at 3 a.m. and a panic-inducing thought hits, your amygdala, the brain's fear, center spikes, triggering the urge to thrash.
Right, fight or flight.
But when you consciously force your body to remain still and bring your full awareness to the exact position of your spine and limbs, you are deliberately activating those proprioceptive networks.
Okay, and that does what?
Doing this requires significant processing power from higher cortical areas, specifically the prefrontal cortex.
So what does this all mean for the panic response itself?
It means you are physically starving the amygdala of computing power.
Wait, really? You just starve it.
Essentially, yes.
Yeah.
The human brain struggles to process intense, primal emotional panic and complex conscious spatial awareness at the exact same time.
Wow.
By forcing your brain to calculate the exact angle of your limbs and the stillness of your posture, you bring the prefrontal cortex online, which sends a top-down signal that overrides the trauma response. It tells the nervous system, we are safe. We do not need to flee from this feeling.
It is essentially using the body's spatial awareness to manually reboot the brain's emotional software. That makes so much sense because a profound disconnection from the physical body is a classic hallmark of compulsive behavior. It is a learned survival mechanism to avoid pain.
Yes. Mindfulness of posture directly counters that ingrained trauma response. It invites you back into the building, making it safe to inhabit your own skin again.
I love that phrase, inviting you back into the building.
And this isn't just modern neuroscience, you know? Philosophers have been deeply analyzing this for centuries. There is an entire branch of philosophy called phenomenology.
Okay.
A prominent thinker named Maurice Merleau-Ponty emphasized a concept he called the lived body.
Let's pause on that, the lived body. How is that different from just the regular biological body we learned about in anatomy class?
Merleau-Ponty argued that the body isn't just an object or a vehicle that our minds happen to carry around. In classical science, the body is treated like a machine.
Right, levers and pulleys.
But in phenomenology, the lived body is the absolute center of our entire experience and our perception of the world. We don't just have bodies as possessions, we are bodies. Our consciousness is thoroughly intertwined with our physical form.
So if you ignore the posture of the body, you are ignoring the very foundation of your consciousness.
Precisely. And if we look back even further, the Stoic philosophers thousands of years ago were obsessed with physical posture.
The Stoics, really?
Yes. They didn't view posture as a mere aesthetic concern. They viewed it as a direct outward expression of inner composure and moral virtue. A grounded, intentional physical presence reflected a grounded, intentional mind.
That makes a lot of sense.
This raises an important question, though, doesn't it?
What's that?
If the Stoics and ancient Buddhist practitioners and modern neuroscientists all universally agree that our physical form is the absolute center of our emotional experience. How much of our modern emotional distress is fundamentally rooted in the fact that we have completely disconnected from our bodies? We sit in ergonomically terrible chairs, staring intensely at glowing rectangles, completely oblivious to our physical form for 10 or 12 hours a day, and then we wonder why we feel deeply anxious, detached, and entirely out of control.
That is a staggering realization. We have essentially outsourced our attention so completely to the digital abstract world that we have abandoned Gautama's fathom-long body.
You have.
And when we abandon the body, we lose our early warning systems. We don't notice the tension building up in our jaw or our chest until it manifests as an overwhelming, uncontrollable urge to escape.
Exactly.
So this practice of noticing posture isn't just a clever life hack. It is a full reclamation of our lived reality.
It is. And it is something that is always available to you in any moment without any specialized equipment.
Which brings us perfectly to the source of all the incredible insight we explored today. We want to make sure you know that the RAFT to Freedom workbook, which contains this profound chapter on the mindfulness of posture and so much more, is written by Dr. Catherine Jacob and Vince Cullen.
A fantastic resource.
Truly. And they're doing something genuinely amazing for the community. They are making the entire comprehensive 66-chapter program completely and freely available online. You can find all of this material and explore the rest of the framework at your own pace by visiting raft2freedom.org.
It is a genuinely remarkable resource, and I think the most fitting way to close our deep dive today is to offer a direct invitation from the pages of that program.
I couldn't agree more. So, to you listening to us right now, we offer this self-reflection directly from the Raft program. Take a moment right now. Without any judgment whatsoever, without trying to correct anything, what do you notice about how your body is positioned in this exact second?
Is there tight tension?
Is there a sense of ease?
Are you slouching forward?
Are you sitting upright? Just notice it. Let the curiosity be the entire practice.
And as you carry that gentle awareness with you into the rest of your day, consider this final quote from the end of the chapter, originally spoken by Sayadaw Yutajanya. No matter what posture you are in, if your mind is aware with understanding, you are meditating.
Which means every single time you stand in line at the store, every time you sit at your desk, you have a completely free opportunity to practice.
Every single time.
And I will leave you with this final provocative thought to mull over on your own. If it's true that our physical posture constantly feeds back into our emotional state, if slouching literally tells our nervous system to feel low and defeated, consider how the physical environments we build for ourselves are silently dictating our daily moods.
Think about that.
Yeah. Think about the deep couches we sink into, the bucket seats in the cars we drive, the tiny digital screens we hunch over for hours on end. Are the physical environments you navigate every day quietly commanding your body to adopt a posture of collapse and anxiety before you have even had a single conscious thought? Next time you reach into your pocket for your phone, just notice the shape your body is forced to make to receive it. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious and keep checking the trim of your vessel.